Council will come to order. The clerk will call the roll. Here.
Oops, sorry.
Mr. Gallucci?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McAllister?
Present.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Tonight, present.
Mr. Ricks will catch his breath and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Thank you for everybody coming tonight. We're here on the second night of our budget hearings. Before I started the budget hearings, I just wanted to make a correction that the chief of staff was kind enough to run some numbers for us. And last night we were under the assumption that a maximum tax increase would bring in $6.3 million. It would only bring in $5.7 million. So it's even worse than we thought. For those of us that were not here last night, I was going to run through some of the challenges that the city faces in developing and ultimately voting on a budget. The school employee raises are $4,429,884. And as you know, that wasn't in Scott Avedisian's budget that was presented to us. There was a state aid reduction to the schools of $1.6 million. The schools are requesting an additional $2 million for support on top of the raises. Police and city raises are $1.3 million. Pension increases are about $1.5 million. Healthcare increases are close to $1 million. Fire arbitration, since there's no agreement on the table, is $500,000. Personnel increases, other personnel increases are $375,000. And the collection rate did not come in at 99%. It came in at 98.5. So our revenues for last year are $1.5 million short. And for this year, if we adopt a 99%, which is in the budget proposed by Scott Avedisian, it would leave us short for next year if we came in at 98.5 of another $1.5 million, which puts the shortfall in the deficit, if you add everything up, to $14,591,000 and change, with under a maximum tax increase with an ability to raise $5.7 million. And as you're aware, the school department advertised, I think it was the first time since I've been here, and I've been here 20 years, for an attorney to possibly sue the city under maintenance of effort and some other legal standards to get more money. So to say that this is the worst that I've seen it would be an understatement. This is the worst I've seen it. I don't think it gets any worse than being able to raise $5 million, $5.7 when you need $15. So something has to give, and I guess it's up to this council to decide what that is. With that good news, I know that we have two items, procedural items, on the agenda. I would also like to say I thought last night's meeting went well, and I'll preface my remarks as I did last night. This is a debate of ideas. I'm not going to tolerate when people attack one another. Just state what your opinion is and move on. We can all agree to disagree. I don't think it's necessary to attack another person's integrity or what they stand for. I don't think it's called for, and if it's done by a council member, a department head, or you know, a citizen, you know, I intend to put an end to that right away. As I said, this is a debate of ideas, and that's how it's going to be conducted. With that said, the first item on the agenda, I believe there's two items that need to be held until we actually vote on them. And I believe, John, were we going to continue those to tomorrow night or Saturday? Saturday. Okay, we're going to continue these to Saturday morning, because I guess we have to wait so many days before we can vote. It's PCR 8518, a resolution adopting and setting the tax rate of the City of Warwick for fiscal year beginning July 1, 2018 and ending June 30th, 2019. Councilman Lattisaw.
Make a motion to hold it until June 2nd.
Do I have a second? Councilman Howe. All those in and Councilman McAllister and Councilwoman Travis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Second item on the agenda is PCR 8618, a resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. Again, Councilman Lattisaw.
Motion to hold till June 2nd.
Do I have a second? Councilman Howe, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, so that will move us to the first item on the agenda, which is going to be personnel, and that's found on page. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to continue. We have to make a motion to open the continued hearing. So, could I have a motion to open the public hearing?
Make a motion to hold the public hearing.
So, Councilman Lattisaw makes the motion. Councilman by seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Meeting stands open. First item on the agenda is personnel, and it's found on page 15. Okay, Jeannie, just hold it close and we should be able to hear you. I don't think the mic is on. Is there a little red light on?
Okay. Good afternoon, Council President Marola and honorable members of the City Council. My name is Jean Bouchard, and I will be presenting the budget for fiscal 19 for the Personnel Department. My budget for the department is $391,794, which includes a request for another staff member at an annual salary at $37,201. Also, we have two employees that have recently reached third step increments in May. Therefore, Their step increments will be at top step is an increase of $11,243. There are no increases other than the normal step increments in this budget. Budget line 15380, general services, which is the usage of printers, ink cartridges, and copy machine costs increased. I did budget $950, which was estimated to be low, and I need to increase that budget line this year. And I will say, although I budgeted $3,500 when I submitted the budget, I've done more investigation as far as the costs coming in, and I feel much, now that I've done that investigation with the Connecticut Business Systems, that budget line could be decreased by $1,200, setting that budget line to $2,300.
And what, could you just give us that line item again?
The line item for that is 15380, general services.
And you're saying that's going to be reduced from 3,500 to 2,300?
That's correct.
Thank you. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No.
Okay. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Gene, obviously you were listening to the meeting last night because you answered the first three questions that I asked every department head last night, and I'll just continue to ask them, but you've already addressed that. I do have to question your line 15380, because in the last several years, going back to at least 2016, you have not spent beyond the 750. I haven't taken out the book for 2015. I do have it. I'm going to assume that was also 750. So I don't see the need, nor have you discussed the need beyond saying you need it.
Oh.
So that's one of my concerns. When I see budget items, whether one construes them as large sums or small sums, they're all sums. And when I look at the history, and in some cases I've gone back to 2006 in these general budgets because I have all of the budget documents going back to that time, and I see consistency in numbers of both what's budgeted and then what's kind of piled in, typically it means it's overfunded. So,
okay. I understand. You're absolutely correct. But we went with this new company, and it has not. It has increased our cost. Connecticut, let me see if I get the, it's, 1 second, I'll have that need. It's called CBS. And so to date, now this goes by usage now. It's a new company that we're using all over through the city. And it goes by the usage, the number of copies you use, the ink, and what we have right now. We've been billed, we've got a price, that $1,915.62, that will be the cost so far. So in knowing that, I don't have the monies to pay for, and we do produce paper. The thing is, I think more and more reporting, mailings out that we do have increased this cost to this. And this particular may work for other departments, but it doesn't for us. It's been very, very expensive. I talked with Carlos about it early on in February. And unfortunately, there's not too much we can do about it now.
Well, I would dispute that. But perhaps the department heads need to come together and find out what's going on with this vendor. Because if your cost increased by 400%, we have the wrong vendor. Get rid of them.
I agree with you.
Something's not right.
I agree with you. 400%,
get rid of the vendor.
And as I said, we have been going back and forth with them to make sure that the readings are right. Are you sure? And right up till today, coming in here, because I know that figure looks, is a lot bigger, and it has increased, but it is due from this new company that we're using.
Well, maybe they'll become the old company.
Okay.
So, and I did look at 2015. Your budget number then was 750 was budgeted also. The other question I have, you had talked about a new position that you created, job code 204, Human Resource Technical Assistant. Tell me why that new position is needed.
That new position is necessary because the volume of work, the hours that my department has worked an awful lot of overtime, continued to work overtime. When we don't have the money in the account, we use comp time. My assistant and myself work nights to assist that burden. But the work, basically, with retirements, we do all the retirements in that department now, the uniform and the municipal. Those retirements have now, we have approximately 1,000 retirees between uniform and municipal. Also in the department, we do the gathering of the information for the actuary. So that's a very long process. I did that when I was in Treasury for uniform. We now do that in, again, personnel. Another thing coming up that was passed in legislation at the state, a new mandate to record part-time employees. They're going to get sick time. Supposedly, that starts July 1st. We have to monitor all part-time people. And I haven't gotten any more literature, but I do have the state law that came out, I think, in February of 2017. So between those two items and also the mandates of the 1095 reporting, different mail-outs for credible coverage, there's an awful lot of tedious work that I would like to pass down and be able to utilize my staff differently, so maybe we can get this other work done during the course of the day rather than working all these extra hours. So I think that this person would be able to do a lot of the, I would say, more clerical administrative. It would be a low-paying position, but very, very important to us. I've recognized that for, you know, the last couple of years, trying to see what we could do differently. We have had an awful lot of retirements recently, but that really isn't the main thing, although it does take a lot of our time. It's mainly the mandates for the office in healthcare. Healthcare is huge as far as even the billing. So for all of those reasons, I really do believe that this person is necessary in personnel, and I believe that I've done a little bit of checking, and although I think this figure is like high, this is what the statistic was that I looked at. It says 1.4 for every 100 employees, and I'm sure those HR departments don't do the in-house calculations of the pension benefits, applying COLAs, doing the work for the actuary. So I think that having that extra person will allow us to make sure that the work that we produce and everything, we're not doing it. Maybe could slow down the pace a little bit too, so we can have someone else do the lesser work and concentrate on this more difficult work.
Okay, so 2 points. You said that this unfunded mandate that the General Assembly has passed out supposedly is taking place or taking effect in July. What do you mean supposedly? Is it or is
it? I haven't got any more literature on it. What I have is the State of Rhode Island General Assembly report.
But that's just a report. Do you have you received a law that has passed the General Assembly that says this will take effect on such and such a date?
It says this act would require employees with 18 or more employees to provide 3 paid sick days in 2018, 4 paid sick days in 2019, and 5 paid sick days thereafter.
No, that's okay. I'm familiar with what the language is. What I'm asking you is, have you received from the State House a document that's saying this particular piece of legislation, H S, whatever it was, et cetera, has been signed by the governor and takes effect on this date.
This is the only document I have.
So that unfunded mandate, right now it's speculation.
It could be, yes.
And you also said that you're dealing with 1,000 retirees?
That's correct.
How many employees, not counting the school department, how many employees do we have in the city?
We have approximately 999 employees.
Right. Actually, that's in totality.
Yes.
Because I remember a couple of years ago when the previous mayor threw out that $800,000 bonus because he was going to give a $1,000 bonus to all the employees. And then all of a sudden we realize it's actually 880 employees. So I remember the number. Mm-hmm. So certainly you're not suggesting that we're going to have 100% of our employees retire in this next fiscal year.
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
But so where does that, you said you have to deal with 1,000 employees, 1,000 retirees.
Well, that's how many people we have retired already.
That are retired already.
That's right. That's right. We have about 600 uniform, and we have a little less, I think at the end of the month we'll have 400 municipal.
And what oversight does your department required to maintain over these retirees?
Our department takes care of the health care. We take care of the any COLAs. The police police and fire have COLAs, as you know, annually. And this year we'll have a COLA for the municipal for the first time. The police department also, for the retirees, has a longevity payment. Yes. So we have those payments that we have to constantly do. Any changes to whether it's a direct deposit, change of address, all of that paperwork is done through our office.
And you have, and I understand there's some overtime that you've had to put in. Actually, you look like you're going to project out at $7,500, which is what your budget was. So with that overtime that you've put in, I'm assuming, because you didn't say otherwise, that you've been able to keep up with the workload.
Very difficult. Very difficult. Yeah, we've been doing it on a priority basis, you know, and as anyone would in the department.
Gene, you've been sitting in on the Finance Committee meetings now for the past 16 or 17 months, and we continue to say that we are looking for departments to do a little more with a little less. You heard the council president's talk this morning, and this is for all department heads that are sitting in the audience as well. It's not being directed just at you. I don't want to make it sound that way. Even more so this year because of the deck of cards that we've been handed.
I understand.
And we do need to do a little more with a little less. Mm-hmm. So in this case, if we can save $37,000 and another 40% or more on benefits, bringing that to about a $50,000 package, and we can do that by spending $7,500 in overtime, something that I need to take a look at. Okay. And keep in mind, we are at a juncture now, and we'll talk about it a little later on, that the costs of health care and pensions and related benefits for retirees are becoming an extremely significant concern. Because when you get to the point where the cost of these benefits for retirees are approaching 50% or more of the working employees, that's very concerning to me. Because it tells me in 10 years from now, maybe 5 years from now, the folks that are working are not going to be able to pay the costs associated with that. And we've heard former colleagues on this council been speaking about that for years. So thank you. It will be a number that I'll be taking a look at. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. DePasquale.
Just a point of clarification. The Healthy Workplace Act was approved, and it will be taking place in July 1st. And just a word about unfunded, you know, mandates. They flow down to us, yeah. And so We all understand what the reasoning was behind the legislature approving this. Obviously, we want a healthy workplace for our employees, but the accounting does come along with it, and it's one of those unfunded mandates. But it is effective July 1st. Just one.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Bill. Any council members have questions for personnel? Any members of the audience have questions for personnel? Yes.
Hi, Stacia Heiler, Ward 9. So if that's the case and we have to provide coverage, sick time coverage, how many part-time employees do we have currently right now working for the city of Warwick, please?
Would personnel know how many part-time? To get a little bit more specific, are you talking about in her department?
In the entire city, how many part-time active city employees do we have, and what's the dollar amount look like for having to provide this coverage?
Okay. Do we have part-time employees, Jean?
We do have part-time employees, and that was a concern. But to give the exact number, I'd have to go back to the department and pull that. But I could have that tomorrow for you.
Yeah, if you could email that to me,
that'd
be great.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
That's what we'll do.
And just one last point. For the creation of this position, this department used $7,500 last year in overtime. They used $7,500 again this year, but they added the new position. So this is even more of a reason to take a closer look at, yes, and I agree with Councilman Lattisar, $50,000, it's with everything else going up, is it really needed?
Thank you. Any other questions from the public on personnel? If not, we'll move to employee benefits, page 69.
The budget, Council President Marola has been presented in total. So, of the $29,518,884,000, if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Jeannie, how much did it go up from the previous year?
Over $2 million. I would say about $2 million.
I'm sorry, couldn't hear you.
$2.2 million.
$2.2 million,
mm-hmm.
And that's in 1 year, right?
Yes.
And the bulk of that would be in what category?
Would be most of it's healthcare, even though that
retired.
Right. Healthcare, and we also have severance pay is up because we had an awful lot of retirees. I think we had 38 municipal retirees in fiscal year 18.
Yep. So every once in a while, it's nice to reflect on the big picture. So we're looking at one line item, $2.2 million. And as Councilman Lattisaw just talked about, we can raise 5.6. And when it's approaching half of what we can raise, we have a problem. And we all know what's happened around the country in our own state. If we don't step up to the plate and solve the problem, we as a group, somebody else will solve it for us. They'll come in, and because we don't have... this is a math problem. This isn't anybody's doing a bad job or people don't deserve raises or people don't deserve health care. I want people to retire. And when I sit here, I want to be able to look at everybody in the audience and say, I protected what you're relying on when you're older and you can't go work anymore. And this is showing me that that's not happening. And we knew this for several years when the actuaries came in. The actuary, I asked, just the healthcare actuary, not the pension actuary, when are we going to be at the point of no return? And I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, he said, you're already there. And I see this, and I see the school department, and I see the roads, and I see people wanting equipment, and I see people wanting raises, and I see, and I look, you know, I think I gave the analogy the other night, Gina, you know my wife, and she said, hey, it'd be nice to get a new kitchen, you know? And so, you know, you look at your budget, and you look at what you can do, and you look at whether you can afford to do something like that. And I'm looking at what he provided us in his statement. We need almost $14.6 million more, and we can raise 5.6. And no matter what we do, we're the bad guys, which I think was intentional. I mean, because now he walks away and says, oh, I was a good guy. I just gave a no tax increase budget. I didn't fund anything. And anything that wasn't funded is everybody else's fault, which is really unfair to us. But I appreciate what you're saying, Jeannie. Are there any other questions from members of the Councilman McAllister?
Yes. On the severance line item, that is a large jump. Do we know estimate about how many people are eligible to retire now? Are we going to see this continue?
Well, what we have right now is 562,000, I believe, in severance. That is 39 retirees, municipal retirees for this fiscal year. I don't anticipate any more retirees because there's a 30-day notice that is required. So I would think that this is pretty much it for that. And also in that figure of benefits was the 1.3 contractual amount as well. I failed to mention that.
But do we know potentially how many, an estimate number of how many are now eligible for the new fiscal year to retire? That would get some severance.
In the new fiscal year, I could give that to you tomorrow. I would say there would probably be at least 20 municipal, but which would affect this line.
And the 30-ish, that this year, is that relatively high compared to other years?
It certainly is, yes.
So 20 is more of the, obviously each year there's people retiring and stuff like that. What would you say is the average?
If I had to guess on past, I would probably say 8 to 10.
8 to 10?
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a big
spike.
Absolutely,
yes.
Okay. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Gene, I think you just said that you don't anticipate any more retirees between now and the end of this fiscal year.
We've included everybody. So in other words, you have a 30-day window, and I don't believe we have anyone else. They'd have to come in before June 1st to get the 30 days.
So they have a day.
Yeah.
So it's safe to say there'll be no more retirees coming in now.
I'm going to say pretty sure.
So as of May 1st, you had expended $356,462 in the severance pays. And as of today, because I have live numbers as of today in the Munis report, as of today, you've expended $398,666. So, knowing those two numbers, how is it that you folks put in a fiscal year projected of 600,000. How did this grow from 4 to 6? And there's no more retirees from today to the end of
the year.
And there's nothing in encumbrances either.
All right. What you don't have is the severance is paid out the third Friday of the month. So you still have June's to be posted. Okay, they're not paid out yet, but we anticipate that cost.
Fine. Okay, so we'll anticipate that cost. And as I said, as of May 1st, you were at 356,000 as of May 1st. As of today, which is your month, you're at 398,000. So that's 42,000. So I put 42,000 onto the 356 and I come up with 400,000. How does your department come up with 600,000?
Well, 600,000 that was a projection because you don't know at that point. But now we know what the figures are going to be, unless we have one more person come in.
So when we look at that, And we know that number is a heavy number, given the testimony and the numbers that I have. We know that number is a heavy number by 200,000. That drops your projected budget to about 26 million. So now you're about 2.5 million higher than your projected budget for this year, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. President, the comments I made earlier about some of these costs and benefits, I'm just going to read some numbers, and this is food for thought, because this is going to certainly, it's going to become an issue, because whether anyone wants to admit it or not, we're heading for a big problem. And this was spoken to many years before I got on this city council, and there were actually some folks who criticized some members of this council for those comments. You can ignore the facts, but it doesn't change the facts. And the one thing I think most of us will agree on is numbers don't lie. People lie, but numbers don't lie. So here's what I see in this report right here on page 69. 75,158. That's healthcare municipal. Projected cost, 5,918,000. 75,159. Municipal, healthcare municipal retirees, 2,959,000. Healthcare police, 2,606,000. Healthcare police retirees, 2,826,000. That's already gone on the other side. Healthcare fire, 4,024,000. Healthcare fire retirees, 2,854,000. How can anyone say that this is sustainable? Just throwing numbers out there.
We can't raise that in 2 years. You can't raise that amount in 2 years with a maximum tax increase.
Just food for thought, Mr. President and members of the audience.
Councilman.
Oh, one other question. On the healthcare consultant, we know that we had the healthcare consultant come before us, I think it was maybe the last meeting in April or so, first meeting in May. And there's a budget number here of 17,000. There's no expenses as of May 1st. There's none in the Munis report as of this minute. And you're showing a projected of 17,000. So I'm not sure why the healthcare consultant hasn't been paid. Did they not submit a bill? Or
that's correct. He has not submitted a bill. And as a matter of fact, last year I had to ask him for the bill.
I want to do work with that guy. He doesn't submit bills. I like him.
He will when I ask him. And I will be asking him for it. I think he allows a little more time to make sure there aren't any more questions. I think that's why he waits.
Councilman Corley.
Gene, perhaps you can help me on the severance line. I don't know why there is a separate line that's listed severance. Can you explain why that's not covered under the salaries that the people that were working were receiving? Why is there a separate line item for severance?
I would imagine they just wanted to, for transparency, just to be able to see what those figures are by separating them out rather than that, because it's a payment that comes after someone terminates or retires, that is equivalent to 2 days a year that they would get of salary for the number of years served. So I think it's for transparency so they can see it, because otherwise that number, if you tried to filter, let's say in the personnel supplement, you would be you don't know what it would be until the person leaves, so the dollar amount.
Okay. The severance is 2 days per year for each year the person worked, and that is a separate payment above and beyond their annual salary that they have earned throughout the course of their career, and it's just labeled severance?
That's correct, Councilman.
Okay. The second question I had is on line item 75161, the healthcare police retirees. The one right below that, 161. The projected number for the end of this fiscal year is $2,826,409. And the proposed budget is $2,863,000. In looking at what it appears is going to be the end of this year, my rough calculations, it's 25% up from what it was expected to be. And I don't know why the proposed budget is only $40,000 more. It doesn't seem to be in line with the increase that we had this year. So how could it be so low?
Well, I think first
and
of all...
And I don't mean low. I mean, how come it's not going up higher?
Well, first of all, we pay claims, and so that would be one of the reasons we don't know what that figure is going to be. And second of all, how we project the new years is when we get the new healthcare provider. They give us working rates, and that's based on information that they develop, and that would be the figure that it comes out. So apparently, they felt that had to be more money for them, because there's a working rate for each group of active and retirees. So that's probably not. It's not a clear answer, but it's the only answer I have for that.
Okay. It just seemed to me to be a very hopeful, optimistic figure as to what's going to happen in the 2019 budget.
You're right. You're right, Councilman. Okay.
Jeannie, I had a quick question. What is our annual required contribution for health care for retirees?
Do you mean the
the actuary's numbers? The actuary comes every year, every 2 years for health care, and they tell us how much we have to put in to the account. We have annual required contributions for pensions, obviously. You're familiar with that. And we have annual required contributions for health care. The last time they were here, I believe it was last year, and it was $24.1 million. Do you have that, Brian or Lynn? Do you know what that amount is?
Yeah.
I think the last time I heard it was $24 million. That's only a year old, and it went up $1 million from the previous year. So my question to you is, that's our annual required contribution. Our annual required contribution is $24.1 million for healthcare retirees. Can you show me where that is in this budget?
Councilman Marilla, I don't believe there's any funding for that. I would check with finance, but I'm pretty sure of saying that there isn't any funding.
We're not funding anybody that's sitting in this audience that's a member of staff. We're not refunding their healthcare retirement at all.
I don't think we've done that at all yet.
Yes, Brian.
Currently, the city is funding healthcare as on a pay-as-you-go basis. So we're funding healthcare and retirement as we go, but we are not putting away for the unfunded liability.
Okay,
so we are paying for healthcare and retirement as we go.
All right, Brian. So we're going to clarify that remark. So come on back up. Okay, so we're not going to confuse people.
Okay.
We have annual required contributions for pensions, correct?
Correct.
And we make those, do we not?
Correct.
We have annual required contributions for healthcare, correct?
Correct.
And we do not make those, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Any other questions, members of the public? Yes.
Good evening, Councilman. Before I begin, Jean, nice to see you again. Used to bump into Jean in Providence. She was a part of the review board for the state for pensions. And I testified. It's going back 7 years ago. You can even see me on YouTube. I testified about the pending pension problem in the city of Warwick 7 years ago. And that's where I got to know Jean. Before I get into that, I want to congratulate you, Councilman Marola, as being elected council president. Certainly well deserved. You've always been somebody I've respected greatly on the city council. I'm sitting here tonight, contrary to popular belief, I haven't been here in a year. And the reason I mention that, I haven't commended the city council for last year's vote. Councilman Solomon is president, and the members of the city council for not increasing taxes. So beg my apologies, I haven't had a chance to get over here for the year. Obviously, that's not going to be the case this year. After listening, Steve, to your overview, which I think is fantastic, we've finally opened the windows. We've taken the curtain back. We're being real with people. I'm horrified. $14 million worth of expenses? And we can only raise maximum tax increase $5 million and change? I commend you. But I'm wondering, are you sitting on a deck of the Titanic? As I sit here in the audience, I was waiting for the deck to move back and forth. This is incredible. But it wasn't unforeseen. One other point. I started attending council meetings, and it's hard to believe, 11 years ago. And I've said this numerous times at the council chamber. The reason I attended meetings was I read an article in Business Week about legacy cost, the pressing cost of health care and pensions for cities and towns. 11 years ago, I came to this council, and I spoke to people. And I remember the first night. Joe Solomon was council president. And I walked away from that meeting, and I said to myself, somebody asked me, my brother called me the next day, he said, how was it at City Hall? I said, I lived here for what, 40 years? Never been there before. I didn't even know how to get here. He said, how was it? I said, I came across two councilmen who got it. Joe Solomon and Steve Marola. They saw an impending problem. They tried to address it. So we're here again tonight. It's not through fault of these gentlemen. The past administration paid lip service to it. We all know that. So again, my compliments to you, Steve. Let me put it to you this way. If I'm going to be on the Titanic as a taxpayer, I want you to be the first officer, and I want Joe Solomon to be the mayor. Because you're going to steer us right. And I have to tell you another thing. I think this council is the best council I've seen to join hands and solve this problem. So, congratulations to you. Number two, I would like just one other quick point. I would like to commend Councilman Gallucci. One of the things, and I had a chance to listen a little bit to what happened last night. Not a lot, but a little. And one of the themes I think you tried to demonstrate last night, Steve, as well as Mr. Ricks, Mr. Howe, just go down a list, Mr. Cawley, this is going to be a shared sacrifice. And I'm not here to demean city workers. Contrary to popular belief, I've been accused of that before. No, I'm just a realist who knows how to read a balance sheet. I want to commend Councilman Gallucci. Insofar as I know you've had a lot of health issues in the last year, and unfortunately you just lost your wife. But your generation taught us something. It's not about self, it's about the group. It's about the city. And you were gracious enough to nominate Mr. Marola as council president. So my hat off to you. And it's rather befitting here at Memorial Day, and I'll just end it on this note before I have a lot of questions. I thought back last night, and I have to see Mr. Nadeau up at the microphone, who has endured a lot of verbal abuse on the school committee. And I thought about it. 17 months he spent in Korea in a hellhole. Never complained. Never complained once. He's certainly not in his job for the money. He's got two grandchildren, and that's why he's put up with it for years. And I think back to generation, your father, Steve. I know what he did for the city, school committee and the like. Your generation, Mr. Gallucci, was a credit to society. And I hope after these discussions tonight, we're all going to share in the sacrifice. So thank you.
Thank you.
One other point. I want to compliment Mayor Solomon. Is he in the building? I don't know if he is he here?
I think he is. Yeah.
Okay. I want to say thank God. I've never seen a man better prepared, better qualified to assume the mayorship in such difficult times. And I know it can't be easy. Guaranteed, he must be scratching his head saying, what the heck did I get into? I certainly would. All right? It's a credit to him. He's going to roll up his sleeve. By the way, Steve, I was saying the same thing about you and the rest of these council members. Probably saying to yourself, what the heck did I get into? Well, let me tell you, gentlemen and ladies, you're the hope for this city. And I'll leave you on this note before I get into my questions. We all talk about education and what it means. I thought about this last night as I was listening to Mr. Nadeau speak. I happen to be a product of Bishop Hendricken. I had a teacher that really made a great impression, Brother Roberts. And I would recommend this for the mayor as well as you, Steve. Get a copy of John Kennedy's Profiles in Courage. Read it. Very short publication. But what it talks about, you had 8 U.S. senators who didn't make the popular decisions, but they made the right decisions. And the people on this council, as well as the new mayor, are going to have to make the right decisions. We all know what they are. They're not going to be easy. The easiest thing is to pass the ex-mayor's budget. That's smoke and mirrors. Can't do it. The kitty is dry. So anyhow, thank you very much for allowing me to say that. What I would like to get into now, let's get into benefits. I have a lot of questions on health care. So maybe Jean can come up. Do we have an extra microphone I could borrow, Steve?
Because I think we only have one for each council member, so you're going to have to share.
Could I share yours over here?
Yeah, you can.
All right, because it'll be easier if somebody than handing the microphone back. Gene, the first question I have for you is, it's about health care. What is the total cost, and I'm sorry, I couldn't hear, this year, what is the total cost for health care for active and retiring employees? The total cost.
I believe the total cost is... $21,184,804.
Now, does that also include dental, or is that just health care?
Because that's health care.
So, how much is dental?
I'm going to say $1,500,000.
Okay. What was the increase of health care costs this year? What percentage? I don't want dollar amount. What's the percentage?
I think it's about 2%. I'm sorry. I think it was about 2%.
Yeah, you folks have 2%. To hold the microphone up to your...
I asked what was the percentage of increase in health care this year?
I would say about 2%.
Okay. What is the cost of a family plan today?
Cost of a family plan is about
$20,000. $20,000?
Correct.
And can you give me an idea what the percentages of co-pays are for the municipal police and fire for that?
the...
Under the new proposed contract, let's put it that way.
I don't have the proposed contract, but the municipal employees pay 18%.
18, okay.
And the police and fire are 20%, but there is some language in the police contract under the health savings account, which allow them to look at the costs, and they could have a reduction in their copay once we develop it. And the other thing is there's caps between 1 year and the other. I believe the municipal have an 8%, the police have an 8%, but the fire, I believe, have a 10%.
Now, when you say caps, explain that to me.
I want to say cap from one copay. In other words, a jump can't be any more than 8%.
Right.
And the other can't be any more than 10% from 1 year to the other.
Who makes up the difference? Let's say it goes up 15% next year. Well, who's paying for it?
It was something contractual, so that is so the city would absorb.
So the taxpayers, basically the taxpayers again.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So is this on the proposed contracts you're referring to?
I'm referring to the contracts in effect right now.
What about the new ones that are proposed? I know you haven't done the fire yet, but the other two are proposed. I saw them on the website. What are the percentages for health care on those?
The percentages for the health care, I believe that they are the same, 20%, with the exception, I think, the police went to drop their cap from 1 year to the other to 5%, and the municipal stayed at there was no change.
But are the municipal still paying an 18% copay, or they went to 20, you said?
18. No, municipal is at 18.
So the ex-mayor constantly talked about a 20% copay. He's been, you know, in the Beacon and everything for years. We have a 20% copay. Now I find out we don't have
it's
a 20% copay. 20%
for the police and fire, and I can check.
Let me ask you this question. If we had a 20% copay, maybe Mr. Ruggiero should be up here too. Is he here? Why don't you come up? You negotiated the contracts. How much, if we had a 2% copay for municipal, how much would that add, how much would that reduce the taxes for the people in the city of Warwick if we went from 18 to 2? We talking $500,000, $1 million? What?
Could you repeat that question?
I know that the municipals, how much? Yeah, if you went from 18%, you have 18% in the contract. You went up to 20%. It's an additional 2%. How much more would we save this year from the taxpayer's point of view?
I can compute that for you, but I can't do it standing here.
Okay. When can you compute it?
I could have that tomorrow.
Okay. See, Gene, let me tell you what my problem is, and I'll make it brief. Last year, and this is not a reflection on you, this is a reflection on the last administration. Everyone in the city council chamber heard that when I asked the question, we're going to get into it in a minute, about the $4 million we pay for copays on prescriptions. The mayor said, all I have to do is send in a Freedom of Information request and I can get the information. Sent in a Freedom of Information request and I said, no documents exist.
That document did not exist. We tried to get that information. I tried diligently to get that, and we finally got it, I believe, on May 3rd is when we got that. And at that point in time, we gave that information out.
Mr. President?
Sorry.
Yes.
I cannot hear the answers.
If you could hold the microphone up.
Sorry. Yeah. We did finally get that information, but it was not to, I believe, May 3rd when that document was brought available. But we continued to try to get it. At the point when that document came through, we did not have a document that showed the total pharmacy. I believe that was the thing. They wanted to know the total pharmacy expense for 2017. And at that point in time, we did not have that document.
Okay.
And as soon as we did, we released it.
Well, again, Gene, I don't want me to give you a difficult time. I'm just saying we've asked in the past for certain items, and we always hear the document doesn't exist. If you can get me that figure, how much we can save if we assess an additional 2%, I would appreciate it. My next question is, at what point is 20% not enough? I mean, if we hit $25,000 next year for health care costs, do you think it would be reasonable to ask employees a 25% copay? considering what we're looking at, Mr. Lattisaw just mentioned a few minutes ago about the cost of health care and the like. Do we really have a choice?
I think that when we bring the unions to the table, those are things that will be discussed.
But the question is, you just took two bargaining units to the table, police, and you just took the city workers to the table.
Mr. Durant, I'm just going to correct you. She didn't do anything.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Jim.
And so, she's here to discuss,
right.
And she doesn't know anything about negotiations. But I would say if you have a statement to make, that would probably be easier than the Socratic method with this witness.
Okay. Well, all I'm saying is we've gotten to the point we have to increase copays. That's obvious by the budget. We have no choice. That's why, candidly with you, Mr. Merle, that's why I wanted Mr. Ruggiero here, because he did do negotiations. I thought he could have answered the question.
There is a certain amount of attorney-client privilege that he's under, and
okay.
As you can understand.
Okay. I'm just gonna throw this out here. In Massachusetts, I was talking with somebody in a town in Massachusetts right outside Boston. Today, the workers pay 48% and the city pays 52%. So it is happening today, all right? It's no longer something maybe, if, whatever. My next question for you is, let's get into prescription copay. Just got a copy of a document a month ago, and Mr. Cawley sent me one this afternoon, reaffirms it. You just referred to it. Calendar year 2017, the cost to the taxpayers for prescription drug copay was $4 million. What I have a problem with, this goes back to when the healthcare consultant was here a few years ago. Councilman Marola at the time asked the question to the healthcare consultant, who else gives this? In private industry, cities, give me some names of companies, cities and towns that gave it. His retort was, don't know of a soul. It's non-existent. When I asked the former mayor 8 years ago when he started rendering it, where's the actuarial study for this? He said, I did one. Call up. And this is why I was a little skeptical, Gene, and it's no reflection on you. Call up your predecessor, and he will give you the actuarial study. Called him up the next day. He said, no document exists. There's never been one done. So what I take exception to is we handed out the mayor handed out a benefit that's now costing us $4 million, the ex-mayor. Let me make sure everybody understands that. The ex-mayor handed out a benefit that's now costing us $4 million, and he never did an actuarial study. And he originally budgeted eight years ago at $1 million. So it's gone up 400% in 8 years. You think that's an area we might be looking at, Mr. Lattisaw, during these discussions?
I would hope so.
My next question for you is when it comes to this drug prescription, copay, do retirees get it?
The only retirees that get it are uniform, and it's not all of them. Uniform retirees, most of them after a certain year, depends on their contract.
Correct.
They were offered the this prescription cap that you're talking about.
Okay.
Municipal, only the active employees have that. They do not have that once they retire.
Gene, was that retroactive? Because this was only in effect for like 8 years. Was it retroactive to retirees?
No, it was not. No,
so,
it was not. It was from, I'm going to say around 2005.
Yeah, so it's got, yeah, you're probably right. I lost track of time, but
I'm
I know.
I'm not sure, but I'm going to say that might
but
be about.
But people who retired prior to that are not getting this?
That's correct.
Okay.
They're on a 20% if they're under 65.
Okay.
There's no prescription after 65.
No, I guess what I'm asking, maybe I'm not making it clear. For those retirees that were already retired,
mm-hmm.
and this particular cap went into effect, yeah. did they get it retroactive?
No.
Okay.
Healthcare is, like if something is contractual, whether it's uniform, municipal, whatever, it would go from whatever contract you retired out on.
Okay. Thank you. How much does a retiree healthcare cost? I thought I just heard that. Was that $9 million? I thought I just heard the figure.
I know that it's made up of line items 7519 and 7516.
Does that include dental?
No, I think she said that was a separate line.
No, I'm asking Ed. Just telling me what the figure was with retiree health care.
Yes.
No, it does not.
Okay, because dental's what about? I mean, you're figuring dental for all of them, what's about $700,000, $800,000?
Right now, we have dental for fire, dental for retirees, dental for municipal. Hold on, I have to run these numbers for you quickly. 4-6. $650,000.
Okay, $650,000 over and above.
There's no dental for any retirees in the municipal.
Okay, thank you, Gene. I have another question. I know the school department was here last night. Certainly was a lot of discussion. Does anybody want to venture a guess what the retiree health care is costing in the school department?
Zero.
No, but you're close. $695,000. Because I looked at the budget. $695,000, and we're up close to $10 million on the city side. Think we got a problem there? By the way, let me ask this question. How much is the unfunded health care liability today in the city? Total.
I don't know.
I think Brian
have that
has
figure,
it.
But maybe
Brian has it.
Brian has the figure.
$380 million.
Okay, 308.
I'm sorry, unfunded actuarial liability is $290 million.
Okay, $290 million.
Brian, what was the 381 number you read?
It is present value of future benefits.
So you read? Could you grab a microphone?
Sure.
Yeah.
So could you distinguish between the two numbers you read, and what it means?
The present value of future benefits, that's $381,259,265. Unfunded actuarial accrued liability, that's the unfunded liability you're speaking of, that's $290,730,265. And as you mentioned before, the annual OPEB cost would be the $23,713,917, where you had mentioned $24 million, so that's... Correct.
Could I call Mr. DePasquale up to the mic?
Mr. President, while we wait for Mr. DePasquale, could I ask, the citizen asked, what would the total health care costs of dental costs? Could I get that number, please? You asked for the total health care of active employees, and what's the dental, please?
Brian, you have the right number now?
650. Sorry.
650.
Thank you.
Mr. DePasquale.
Yes.
OPEB, annual required contribution, we just told is $23 million. What is it?
Okay. The annual required contribution, and this is actually from the Jefferson Solutions actuarial studies, $25,810,545.
So 2.8.
As of 2017. Ending June 30th.
So that's last year's number is 25.8.
That's correct.
I thought it was 24.1, but I think that was the year before.
You are correct. You have a great memory. Year before, 24,802,342.
So it's jumping up about
a
million.
It's absolutely.
Over a million a year?
It appears that way. Yes, a million.
A million a year it goes up. And that's because we're not putting any money in for these folks' retirement for health care.
I think OPEB has been an issue all over the state and all over the country, and we have to take, like you said, a real look at what these contributions should be by municipalities in order to provide those benefits if we want to continue providing the benefits.
And Bill, you and I have had this conversation for many years, but what I always find amazing, and I don't know if some of my fellow council members realize it, is that that annual required contribution mm-hmm. of $25.8 million that was due last year, mm-hmm. when they calculate the number for the new year, I don't know if this is going to shock everybody, but they assume that we made that $25.8 million payment. Ask them to make an assumption if we don't make it.
Correct. It disproportionately, it'll be multiplier.
I mean, that's not even a true number, 25.8, because they're assuming in the future we're making these payments. It's crazy.
It's very clear. The benefit costs money, and you either pay as you go, or you include an arc like we do with a pension plan.